Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. Praise God. We are going to open with a prayer to begin with. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy mercy, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here once again. And I pray, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service here today. I pray that thy perfect will be done. I pray, O God, that we would be inspired to draw nigh unto thee, inspired to worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray, O God, that we would worship thee wholeheartedly here this day. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our new course books. Hopefully everybody got one, but we're going to open to begin with the number 144. We have come into this house, number 144. I guess you're going to need one too.
Yeah.
house and gathered in His name, worship Him. We have come to His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have hopefully the numbers are all still the same here. We're going to go to number 83 and sing From the Rising of the Sun, number 83. From the rising of the sun to the going down there, we Now to number 94 and sing Wherever I Am, number 94.
I'll pray. of Jesus, lift the name of Jesus for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God. Well, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals now. We're going to go to number 2 and sing Praise Him, Praise Him, number 2.
Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go now to number 102 and sing He Brought Me Out, number 102. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Praise, hallelujah. He brought me out of the mire.
God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, yes, He brought us out from so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I haven't really even been looking at the clock, but it's amazing how quickly time goes when you're praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to take up the collection. Chuck, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us, for Thy many abundant blessings. For we know, O God, that we would be helpless and lost without Thee, but we are so thankful that we have Thee to turn to look upon for our strength. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead this ministry in the days ahead, for we need Thy help so very much. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song in just a moment, but we do have a prayer request from Rob and Tori. A man that they know, his name is Mike. He recently lost both of his parents within 2 days of each other, and it sounds like he's taking it pretty hard, and his family as well, so we're going to pray for them right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning on behalf of Mike and his family, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and talk to their souls. I pray, O God, that they would reach out to Thee in this time of sorrow and this time of mourning. I pray, O God, that they would seek Thee, seek Thy comfort, and seek Thy love. For we know, O God, that salvation comes only from Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would speak to Mike and his entire family, Lord. I pray, O God, that they would seek Thee, O God, to draw upon Thy wells of graciousness, of mercy, of love. And we pray, O God, that they would be drawn unto Thee and Thy salvation. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word this morning. We're going to number 207, the Hallelujah Side, number 207.
Help me in my sin.
Doesn't it feel good to worship the Lord?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to get started in the Word this morning, and I'm putting a title on this message, as I always do. We're calling this message this morning, Praise Ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. And to begin with, we're going to open to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians chapter 5. And before we read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for this blessed Scripture, Thy holy Word. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here this morning as we look upon this gift that Thou hast given us, this very precious Word of God. I pray that we would be inspired by the Holy Ghost here today. I pray, O God, that Thou would talk to our souls. I pray that Thou would move upon us by Thy Spirit. I pray that these words we read today would have an impact on our hearts, on our minds, and on our souls, Lord. I pray, O God, that Thou would give us understanding of Thy Scripture, discernment of Thy Scripture, for we know that understanding and discernment comes from Thee. And I pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but let Thy Spirit have free course. I pray that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with Ephesians chapter 5, and, you know, this is one of those situations where I could have just read one or two verses, but I like to get a running start at things, so we're going to start with verse 1. It's a wonderful chapter anyway, Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Now that alone is a very good reason to praise the Lord. You can't praise Him enough. You know, you never get to a point where you think to yourself, well, I've praised the Lord for a while now, that's done, that's enough. You never can praise Him enough. He deserves all our praise, all our worship, as much as we can give Him. It tells us from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, we should praise the Lord. The Scriptures tell us so, and I believe that to be true. And verse 3 tells us, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Now, we have a problem in this world today, and that is that many people out there claim to be Christians. They claim to believe. They claim to be saved. But they're still participating in fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and various other sins. Now, the Apostle Paul is warning us here, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The saints of God do not do those things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And you know, that's a big part of praising God. Giving thanks to Him for what He has done for us. For bringing us out of the mess that we were in. Oh yes, He brought us out of the miry clay. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now, that's a sobering thought. That means a whole lot of people are in a whole lot of trouble today. And we should take this to heart, because there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world worth going to hell over. You know, people aren't going to look up from hell someday and think, well, I'm okay with my decisions for what I did to get here. No, they're going to regret not turning to the Lord. They're going to regret not forsaking their sins. And that's a very sad thing, but praise the Lord, that doesn't have to happen to you. And it doesn't have to happen to me. We can abide in God's grace. We can be saved by His grace. We can be saved by His mercy. And that is a reason to praise the Lord. Verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." You know, when God pours out His Spirit, the Holy Ghost upon His people, when He comes to dwell inside His people, there will be spiritual fruit. And it will be good fruit. If someone's bringing forth bad fruit, well, then you know they don't have the Spirit of God. That's an easy way to tell. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And it's true, it's so true, isn't it? There are some things that people do that are so horrible and nasty that you can't even talk about them. But you can reprove the world of sin. In fact, the scriptures tell us to do that very thing in verse 11. And verse 13 tells us, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ gives us light.
Amen.
And you know, it's amazing, because Jesus once told us that he told his people that ye are the light of the world. Now how can that be? If Jesus is the light of the world, how can we also be the light of the world? Because when we belong to Him, when we're filled with His Spirit, when we have the Holy Ghost, we reflect His light. And people can see His light in us. Verse 15 tells us, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And are they ever? There's so much evil going on right now. We could spend all morning talking about it, but I'd rather not, because I came here today to praise the Lord. And verse 17 tells us, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh yes, it's a wonderful thing to be filled with the Spirit. And you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Because people who like to get drunk, they'll go to those liquor stores, and what do they say on the front of the building a lot of time? Wine and spirits. Well, that's a different kind of spirit, and that's a spirit we don't want.
Right.
We want the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And I tell you what, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to have any desire to go out and get drunk. Verse 19 tells us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's something we did this morning. That is a part of praising God. And you can sing psalms too. In fact, if you look at the chorus book, we have a whole bunch of psalms in there. In fact, the book of Psalms is a song book. And you know, those songs have been sung for thousands of years. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to worship God in that manner. And here the Apostle Paul is telling us to use those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh yes, it's a wonderful thing to make melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, there have been times when I've sang spontaneous songs that were just for the Lord, you know, and I don't even remember how they went, but sometimes I'd be driving along in a car and the Lord would speak to me and I'd just start singing these songs. And praise God, that's a wonderful thing when it happens too. It's called making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this is all a part of praising the Lord. Giving thanks to Him for what He has done for us. Being respectful to Him, fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know, one of the problems we have in this world today is there are so many people who do not fear the Lord. But, you know, everyone is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ one fine day and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone is going to do it. And for some of us, it'll be a joyful event, a happy occasion. And for others, it will come with great sadness. But the Apostle Paul tells us here to use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we're going to do that this morning. We are going to turn to the book of Psalms, and we are going to be in Psalms for quite a while, in fact. We're going to start with Psalm 92. And so many of these psalms are about the goodness of God and praising the Lord. And it is such a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. I just love doing that. Can't do it enough. And we have many psalms who talk about praising God, talk about the goodness of the Lord, talk about being thankful to God for all that He has done for us. So we're going to look at some of these psalms right now. You know, we live in a world today where people love to pass around praise, don't they? They love to praise each other. They love to praise celebrities. They love to praise government officials if they happen to be doing something they agree with. But so many people are so reluctant to praise God. And why is that? You know, it's a joy to do so. When you feel the presence of God, when you're praising Him, that is pure joy. And you know, the Scriptures tell us in Psalm 22, verse 3, "But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." He inhabits the praises of His people. When we gather in His name, and when we praise Him, when we sing unto the Lord, when we worship Him, He's right there in our midst, inhabiting those praises. That's why there's so much joy in doing so. But Psalm 92 verse 1 tells us, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." When should we worship God? When should we sing His praises? When should we praise the Lord? Well, there's never a bad time to do it. You can do it in the morning. You can do it in the afternoon. You can do it at night. And I would recommend all of the above.
Amen.
Verse 3, "Upon the instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound." Oh yes, you can use the instruments, musical instruments that God has given us to worship the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. And we know that David played the harp, and he was obviously very skilled at it, very good at it. And he often would play for King Saul, and it would be like a salve for his spirit when King Saul was troubled. And that's an effect that godly music can have on people. Now, there are other types of music that have the opposite effect. But it talks about various instruments here, and the instrument of 10 strings, the psaltery, the harp, and of course, the psaltery is a stringed instrument that actually looks very similar to a harp. But verse 4 tells us, "For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands." Oh, yes, He has made us glad. "O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep." Far deeper than we could ever comprehend, but that's okay, because we don't need to know everything. We don't have to have all the answers for all the world's problems, because we know who does, and that is the Lord. Yes, His thoughts are very deep. "A brutish man," and brutish, that means like an animal. "A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." You know, sometimes it does seem like wicked people flourish. In fact, sometimes wicked people even become billionaires. And it may seem like they have so much, but if they don't know the Lord Jesus, they don't have anything really. Some people are so poor that all they have is money. And you know what? On Judgment Day, it's not going to matter. But it seems like they flourish sometimes. But those who do evil, it tells us in verse 7, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Praise God. No one is ever going to overthrow the Lord. He is the most high for all eternity, forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. And of course, we know that here, horn represents power, represents strength. And unicorn there, it's not talking about those weird-looking horses with the strange horn. No. That's a mythological creature, and sometimes people will look at God's word and see the word unicorn in there and they'll laugh and what's unicorn doing in there? That doesn't make any sense. Well, you need to understand that there was different types of animals that have been called unicorns, and some people think that unicorn here is referring to a wild ox. I've heard that before, but what I believe it's actually referring to is a type of rhinoceros that was actually called a unicorn because it had a singular horn on its head. And that type of rhinoceros is now extinct, but I believe that that's what the scriptures were referring to when it said unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Oh, praise God. We need that oil of the Holy Ghost. God pours out His Spirit, and we need that so very much. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And that's what we have to look forward to. You know where the courts of our God are today? I'll give you a hint. They're not here on this earth. They're in the New Jerusalem. The Jerusalem which is above and free and is the mother of us all. That's where the courts of God are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And those who belong to the Lord, those who have repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, those who are filled with His Spirit will flourish in the courts of God for all eternity. Verse 14 tells us, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Praise the Lord. No unrighteousness in our God. Everything He does is righteous and true. He never makes mistakes. He is in charge. He is in control. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? You know, as human beings, we're prone to make mistakes. But God never makes a mistake. He's never confused. He's never stuck. He's never in a situation where He doesn't know what to do. And we are going to turn now to Psalm 98, because Psalm 98 is another wonderful psalm that tells us to praise the Lord. Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 1 tells us, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. And you know, when God made known His righteousness, made known His salvation, when He came to earth in the form of a man, God robed in flesh, God manifested in the flesh, and He came and made known His salvation. And praise God, we know that salvation today.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh yes, He has showed His righteousness openly. All have seen it, not all accept it, but all have seen it. And verse 3 tells us, He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Oh yes, all the ends of the earth. God gathers His people from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue, from the four corners of the earth. He gathers His people together. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what Jesus did on that cross when He reached out to the lost, reaching into the past to all who looked for the Savior, reaching forward into the future to all who would ever believe on Him. Yes, He gathered His people and is still gathering His people from the four corners of the earth. And verse 4 tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and a sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Praise God. And it is a wonderful thing to make a joyful noise. It's a wonderful thing to sing unto the Lord. And you know, you don't have to worry about your voice being perfect. I don't think anybody's has to worry about that here. I know I certainly don't have a perfect voice, and that's okay. We make a joyful noise to the Lord. Praise God. And you know, when people get together in the name of the Lord and they start singing and praising God and worshiping the Lord, by the world standards, you could have 100 people, all of whom who do not have good voices by the world standards, but when they all sing together and praise the Lord and worship God, it's a beautiful thing to hear.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's just something about that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But it tells us in verse 5, sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. And who is our King? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world, and the people with equity. Praise God. Oh yes, a day of judgment is coming. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that we have a righteous judge. And when we repent of our sins, He takes those sins away. He no longer holds those sins over our heads. So if you've done things in your past that are troubling, just remember, if you've repented of those things, God is not going to hold them against you. He's not going to hold them against your charge, and He certainly isn't going to remind you of those sins. That's something the devil likes to do. Remember all those horrible, rotten, nasty things you used to do? That's what he likes to bring up. And he likes to trouble people and make them think, oh, we're not worthy of salvation. And you know, that's true. We're not worthy of salvation, and yet God saves us anyway. He accounts us worthy. And that is such a wonderful blessing. That's something to praise the Lord about.
Amen.
But yes, we know that the Lord will judge. But even the very creation of God praises the Lord. And you know, it's interesting here in Psalm 98, it talks about God gathering His people from all the ends of the earth. So let's go now to Psalm number 107, because it fits in so well with what we just read. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's no expiration on His mercy? Isn't it wonderful to know that when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about being cast out of heaven because God changed His mind? He doesn't do that. Once we're there, we are there for all eternity.
Praise the Lord.
His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh yes, He plucked us out of the hand of the enemy. He plucked us out of the hand of the devil, and we belong to Him now. And there's no one who can pluck us out of the hand of the Lord. Verse 3 tells us, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Oh yes, God has gathered his people and continues to gather his people from all corners of the earth. From the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And that was the condition of all of us at one point. Wandering through a desert, not necessarily a physical one, but a spiritual wilderness, a spiritual desert. And we were hungry, thirsty, and the Lord found us. He gave us those springs of living water that quench our thirst. And nothing else ever will. Nothing else will ever fill that void. Nothing else will fill that void in our lives. People try with so many different things to fill that void, don't they? But there's only one thing that can fill that void, and that is the Spirit of God. Only He can quench that thirst. Verse 6 tells us, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Do you remember the day when you first cried unto the Lord, and He delivered you, and heard your distresses? Oh, that's a reason to praise the Lord. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. And of course, we know that contemn is a word that means to treat with disregard, disdain. But there are people who do that. They contemn the counsel of the Most High. They don't regard His word. They don't regard the Lord. And people who are in that condition, they are sitting in darkness today. That's a very sad thing. But thank God we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And verse 11 tells us, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Oh, yes, that's a reason to praise the Lord. He has set us free. Praise the Lord. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. You know, when you refuse the meat that God has for us, when you refuse His word, you starve to death. Spiritually, you starve to death. And there are a lot of starving people in this world today. Verse 19 tells us, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Praise God. Oh yes, we can declare His works. We can declare what He has done for us, and we can do so with rejoicing. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, rejoice evermore. Because we have been set free. We have been saved. We have been redeemed by our Savior. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And I tell you what, there are wonders in the deep. Magnificent examples of God's creation. And it's amazing to see these storms, to see the hand of God, the power of God in these storms. And we see the sea creatures, the whales, the sharks, these magnificent beasts of the sea. And there are things in the deep that haven't even been discovered yet, because the ocean goes down so deeply that they haven't even been able to adequately study all of the creatures that God has created. And I don't believe they just got there by accident. I don't believe they evolved. But God is our creator, and he has made all things in this entire universe.
Yes.
So the wonders of the deep, they belong to the Lord. And verse 25 tells us, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And that's true, isn't it? Storms can be very frightening to mere mortal human beings. When we feel that power of God in those storms, it can be an overwhelming thing. And people who experience these storms, they can be at their wit's end quite easily. But it tells us in verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And remember when Jesus was with his disciples in that ship, and a storm came up trying to prevent them from getting to the other side? You know, the devil can stir up storms too sometimes, but we must remember that God is ultimately in control, and all of that trouble that the devil tries to cause, God has authority over all of it. He can put a stop to it quickly and easily.
Amen.
But there was that storm, and his disciples were distraught. They came to the Lord, who was actually sleeping. The Lord Jesus was sleeping on that ship. And they asked him, carest thou not that we perish? Oh yes, he cares. He cares for his people. But being the creator of the universe, he's not distressed by storms. And all he had to do was say, peace, be still. And the sea was calm. He can speak the words and the creation obeys. Why? Because he is the creator. He spoke this entire universe into existence.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
You know, there was a time long ago when there was nothing except the Lord. He was all that existed. But then he made his angels. And then he created this universe. And he spoke it all into existence, because that is the power of our God.
Amen.
So yes, he can calm the storms. And verse 30 tells us, then are they glad because they be quiet, and so bringeth them unto their desired haven. And he is going to bring us to our desired haven. You know where that haven is? I'll give you a hint. It's not in this world. Our haven is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land in the barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. And of course, that doesn't sound pleasant, does it? But he can do that. He can turn rivers into a wilderness. And actually, it's really something, because if you look at the Israeli state today, it's mostly desert, isn't it? But that was once a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a desert now.
That's true.
But verse 35 tells us, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water spring. So even as he can turn rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, he can do the exact opposite too. And he does so for his people. Oh yes, we can draw from those springs of living water. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And verse 36 tells us, "And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase." And again, we bring forth spiritual fruit, don't we? "He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease." Again, they are minished. And minished there, it means basically the same thing as diminished. "Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock." You know, there might be people in this world sometimes who are looked down upon with disdain. But, you know, God hears the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of the afflicted, and he reaches down to the lost. And you might look at people and think, "Oh, they don't have much at all." But if they know the Lord, if they belong to our King, then they are wealthier than all the wealthiest men of this world. And you can't judge it by outward appearance. Some people may be destitute looking, they may be wearing rags, but if they belong to the Lord, they are rich in spirit. And that's what truly matters, to have those treasures in heaven. That's what's going to count. The things of this world are just temporary, and they will all pass away someday. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." His word is firmly established. And when you belong to the Lord, when you've embraced that word, you have an eternal inheritance. Verse 41, "Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquities shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Praise God. Do you understand the loving kindness of the Lord today? I hope you do. Praise the Lord. We are going to turn now to Psalm 146. You know, these psalms right at the end of the book, Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, are all about praising the Lord. And I actually enjoy reading these particular psalms to our family parrot professor who lives at my mom's house. He seems to really enjoy these psalms. And he praises the Lord too. Praise God. Psalm 146 verse 1 tells us, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Oh yes, it's such a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. Verse 3 tells us, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry." Oh yes, we are happy, those who rest in our Lord, those who have been saved from our sins. "The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." And Jesus came and did those very things, didn't he? "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Then the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And We're going to continue on here in Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. And yes, He did gather up the outcast and is still gathering the outcast from every corner of the earth, from the north, south, east, west, from the ends of the earth. He gathers the outcasts of His people. People who were once outcasts now belong to the Lord. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. And what a thought that is. You can look up in the sky. You see all those stars shining in the heavens. And God knows exactly how many there are. And He's named each one.
Yeah.
What a thought.
Amen.
You know, the greatest astronomers in the world can't do that. Verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. You know, God has dominion over this entire creation. He made it. He controls it. He owns it. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. People sometimes, they can be so impressed by other men, their physique, these bodybuilders and so forth, who look so strong. So mighty. Of course, a lot of them are probably on steroids anyway, but you know, people are so easily impressed by other men and by athletes who can perform amazing feats. But you know what? That's not impressive to our Almighty God. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. That's because our God is almighty. He can do with all things. He can do all things well. And verse 11 tells us, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy. He's not impressed by physical feats, but God takes pleasure in those that respect Him, those that fear Him, those that cry out to Him, those that repent of their sins, those that seek Him. That's who the Lord takes pleasure in. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for He hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? And yes, God even controls the weather. He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causeth His wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Oh yes, these are all wonderful reasons to praise the Lord. I'm going to continue on in Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise ye Him all His angels, praise ye Him all His hosts, praise ye Him sun and moon, praise Him all ye stars of light. Oh yes, this whole creation is to praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I believe even the animals praise the Lord. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. You know, you see some of these storms sometimes with all the thunder and lightning, and really, what's happening in those storms is a testament to God's power, and that is the creation praising the Lord. And verse 6 tells us, He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. In other words, no one will ever overturn the decrees of God. His word is firmly established. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. And isn't that amazing too, that even dragons, evil spirits, devils are going to have to bow down and praise the Lord?
Amen.
They're not going to be glad to do it, but they're going to do it. In fact, they did that very thing when Jesus was on earth, didn't they? Remember the man who had the legion of evil spirits? He came running and bowed down before the Lord. And those spirits had to submit to the Lord Jesus because he is the creator of the universe and he has all authority. Verse 8, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. And as I mentioned before, a time is coming when all who have ever lived, who are alive now, who will live in the future, all of us will bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ and profess yes. that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that we can do so willingly today. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. And now we will do Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Yes, you can even sing in bed. Praise God. You can praise and worship God from your bed.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, there's no place where it's ever inappropriate to praise the Lord. Verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. And finally, Psalm 150 tells us, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh yes, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord.
And I hope that you do like praising the Lord. I hope that you like worshiping the Lord. Because that's something we're going to do for all eternity when we get to heaven. I want to go to one final place in Scripture before closing. Revelation chapter 15.
Praise
the Lord. Revelation chapter 15. And it tells us in verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Oh yes, this is a wonderful thing, that there will be people who have the victory over the devil, the victory over the beast, the victory over his image, the victory over his mark. And I pray to God that I see all of you there one day. Because it will be so wonderful. And you know what? People are going to be standing on that sea of glass. And they're going to be singing. They're going to be praising God. Verse 3 tells us, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And we know that the song of Moses can be found in Exodus chapter 15, which he sang after the children of Israel were delivered from the Egyptians, when the waters of the Red Sea were parted so that they could cross over on dry ground, and God gave his people the victory over those Egyptians. Moses sang a song, and it tells us in Revelation 15, and that song is also sang by the saints in heaven, but not only that song, but also the song of the Lamb. And it's going to tell us what the words are to that song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So yes, we are going to be singing, rejoicing, praising God for all eternity. And that is a wonderful thing. But you know what? Why not get started now? Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for the joy that thou hast filled us with. We thank thee for thy spirit which thou hast poured out. We thank thee for the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee for the knowledge of thy salvation. And I pray, O God, that thou would help us to draw nigh to thee, to be close to thee, to praise thee each and every day, to glorify thy holy name. I pray that thou would abide with us, lead and direct our paths, O God. Help us and strengthen thy people, I pray. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. Praise God. And we're going to turn to number 11 and sing Let's Just Praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord.
Thank you.